ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Like to welcome back to ISV Bhakti Rasayana Sagar Maharaj. Is that how I say your name? Let's welcome back Maharaj. He's highly esteemed Parvajakacharya, who travels all over the world teaching Christian consciousness, and in many different countries, in Japan, and definitely in Russia, and here at ISV. We're very fortunate to have him come here regularly. So thank you very much for coming back. And we also have spotted Bhimakarma Prabhu, who has come here all the way from the East Coast, I'm presuming. And that means you're going to be doing some classes, right? So please give a warm welcome for Bhimakarma Prabhu. Many of you already know him. He's perhaps the premier Madhunga teacher in the world. And some of you already take lessons from him. But he's been playing since he came out of the womb, as far as I could see. I've watched him since he was a baby playing the Madhunga. And teaching other people the tradition in a very deep way, and connecting everything that they learn to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. We're very happy you're here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. One more time. Also, we have our very dear Satyadev Prabhu, who's just back from China. He's always back and forth, so please welcome His Grace Satyadev Prabhu. And now, well, look at the Bhagavad Gita in the 10th chapter, 11th verse. Thank you. I've been here, you just couldn't see me. So, because each one of these verses has so much spiritual power, I'll say the first half a line, and then everyone can repeat. Tisham evanukam partam. Ahamajnanajam tamaha. Nashayam yatmabhavasto. Jnanadhipena basvata. Tesham, for them, eva, certainly, anukampa artam, to show special mercy, aham, I, agyanajam, due to ignorance, tamaha, darkness, nashayami, dispel, Atmabhava, within their hearts. Situated. Jnana, of knowledge. Dipena, with the lamp. Basvata, glowing. Translation. And this is Krishna speaking in the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Let's say it together. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Purport. When Lord Chaitanya was in Benares, promulgating the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, thousands of people were following him. Prakashananda Saraswati, a very influential and learned scholar in Benares at that time, derided Lord Chaitanya for being a sentimentalist. Sometimes Mayavadi philosophers criticize the devotees because they think that most of the devotees are in the darkness of ignorance and are philosophically naive sentimentalists. Actually, that is not the fact. There are very, very learned scholars who have put forward the philosophy of devotion. But even if a devotee does not take advantage of their literatures or of his spiritual master, it is if he is sincere in his devotional service, he is helped by Krishna himself within his heart. So the sincere devotee engaged in Krishna consciousness cannot be without knowledge. The only qualification is that one carry out devotional service in full Krishna consciousness. The Mayavadi philosophers think that without discriminating, one cannot have pure knowledge. For them, this answer is given by the Supreme Lord. Those who are engaged in pure devotional service, even though they be without sufficient education, and even without sufficient knowledge of the Vedic principles, are still helped by the Supreme God, as stated in this verse. The Lord tells Arjuna that basically there is no possibility of understanding the Supreme Truth, the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, simply by speculating. For the Supreme Truth is so great that it is not possible to understand Him or to achieve Him simply by making a mental effort. Man can go on speculating for several millions of years, and if he is not devoted, if he is not a lover of the Supreme Truth, he will never understand Krishna or the Supreme Truth. Only by devotional service is the Supreme Truth Krishna pleased, and by his inconceivable energy, he can reveal himself to the heart of the pure devotee. The pure devotee always has Krishna within his heart, and with the presence of Krishna, who is just like the sun, the darkness of ignorance is at once dissipated. This is the special mercy rendered to the pure devotee by Krishna. Due to the contamination of material association through many, many millions of births, one's heart is always covered by the dust of materialism. But when one engages in devotional service and constantly chants Hare Krishna, the dust quickly clears and one is elevated to the platform of pure knowledge. The ultimate goal, Vishnu, can be attained only by this chant and by devotional service, and not by mental speculation or argument. The pure devotee does not have to worry about the material necessities of life, he need not be anxious, because when he removes the darkness from his heart, everything is provided automatically by the Supreme Lord, who is pleased by the loving devotional service of the devotee. This is the essence of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. By studying Bhagavad Gita, one can become a soul completely surrendered to the Supreme Lord and engage himself in pure devotional service. As the Lord takes charge, one becomes completely free from all kinds of materialistic endeavors. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Nena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam Tatati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajata Sahagana Ragunatham Vita Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kolpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Pya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Gopremanande Haribom. This is a famous verse. It's clustered in a group of four that several of our acharyas have mentioned to be four primary or very important verses in the Gita. And this particular verse, along with the one just before it, they're similar. As in both, Krishna speaks about how he's there within the heart of every living entity. And when one endeavors with sincerity, earnestly tries to reach him, then he illuminates the heart. He reciprocates from within the heart. And in both the purports, Srila Prabhupada points out that because this is the most direct process to please Krishna, actually to please anybody, but especially Krishna, because he's not impressed with knowledge, he's not impressed with wealth or sacrifices, but he is impressed with the sincerity of the practitioner, that he detects the very flavor of the desire of every living entity. And throughout the bhakti scriptures, we hear about the importance of this sincere desire to please Krishna. And when one is able to pray to Krishna, even if one's pronunciation is imperfect, but one does so sincerely, then Krishna will accept it. When Prahlad Maharaj was pushed forward, he was a five-year-old boy, and it's a long story. But Lord Nrisingadev, one of the great avatars of Krishna, who appeared as a half-man, half-lion, then the devas, the administrators of the universe, had all offered beautiful prayers in Sanskrit. Lord Nrisingadev, who was manifesting the anger of God because the father of Prahlad Maharaj had been extremely abusive to him, then he still wasn't pleased with their excellent Sanskrit prayers. So they pushed Prahlad forward. They said, "You try. He came for you." And Prahlad then thought about it, and he said, "I'm not qualified like the demigods. They are in the mode of goodness. I'm born in a very low family." He said that I don't know eloquent Sanskrit like they do, and so forth. And then he thought about Gajendra. He said, and Gajendra was an elephant. And when he was in deep trouble, he had been captured by a crocodile by the leg. And Gajendra then remembered prayers from his previous life and began to speak them out loud very sincerely out of a sense of emergency. Even in the beginning, he didn't know who the Supreme was, but he had this sense of urgency. And Krishna heard him and came and saved him. So Prahlad Maharaj remembered that. Bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gajayutapaya. That Gajendra, even though he was an animal, he had some sincerity in his heart. And when he called out to the Supreme heard him and came. So he said, "Therefore I conclude," says Prahlad, "that anyone who has a sincere desire can offer prayers to the Supreme Lord and he will accept them." So in the practice of bhakti, it's very important to be sincere. Actually, the word comes from an interesting origin, and that is that when marble was first used and discovered for use in building cathedrals, temples, and so forth, in Rome, there was a rush to buy more and more good marble. And you can't always find good marble. Of course, it's more expensive. So those in the quarry who would pull out pieces of marble would put wax in the cracks. The cracked marble's not as good. So they would fill it up with wax. And then they would sell it for a higher price. And of course, later on, people would always discover that there was a crack, because when it would heat up, the wax would come out. They'd find out that it was actually inferior in quality. So the sincere means without wax. There's no pretense. And there are very few opportunities for this in life, where one feels vulnerable enough or safe enough to be vulnerable, to put aside one's pretense, because I have so many covering layers where I'm projecting myself in a certain way. When I walk by a door that reflects, I look in it. How do I look? How do people think, oh, I better fix this? Always trying to put wax somewhere. Fix this or that. There's whole shops that sell different kinds of wax that you can put on. But it's my preoccupation, practically 24 hours a day, keeping up a pretense. In fact, it's mentioned in any science, there's an effect where somebody comes and looks at the subject, then it changes. My mother was a sociologist, and she used to tell me that that very particularly applied to human beings. If she would go on a field study to see how certain people lived, of course, she could never see them in their original state, because they would change everything in their house before she got there. If you know somebody's coming over, if I know Satyadev Prabhu's coming over to see me, I always clean up really fast. Because he's so neat and tidy all the time. And I don't want him to see anything out of place. So he may not get to see what I'm really like. And similarly, I do that body, mind, all the time, covering up. So finding a way in which, in the spirit of this verse, to be open to the fact that Krishna is already watching me. He's witnessing what my desires are all the time. This is a very powerful realization that Krishna is witnessing, noticing what my actual desires are within my heart and watching me. And we can understand from the spirit of this verse that if we become aware of that, if we can become aware that Krishna is there within my heart and knows exactly what my intentions are, then he will reciprocate. So he says so in this verse, that if you sincerely try in devotional service, Bhavagrahi Janardana is one of Krishna's names. This comes up in the pastime of Lord Vamandev and Bali Maharaj. As Bali Maharaj was a great king, he practically had stolen the kingdom away from Indra and was enjoying performing a huge sacrifice when Vamadev came into the assembly. And Bali Maharaj thought, this is the most beautiful being I've ever seen in my life. But he couldn't, in his heart, he gave himself to Vamadev, but he couldn't do it externally, because of the circumstances. But there, Krishna understood what his intention was within his heart. So, becoming aware of Krishna and that he knows what I'm thinking and what my desires are, and giving myself to the practice of devotional service, in that spirit of sincerity, chanting with sincerity, serving with sincerity, is the way in which we can very quickly feel the presence of Krishna and his reciprocation within the heart. And this is the essence of the practice of devotional service. Krishna notices the mood in which we're performing the service and not so much what the service is. He notices a lot what we're holding back rather than exactly what we're offering, if we're holding something back. And now we'll take a few reflections. Anything you heard from the verse or from the monologue so far?
So I liked the concept of sincerity and how it pleases Krishna, and the example that you gave of Gajendra's sincere prayers to the Lord that touched his heart and he came to rescue him. So sincerity is the word that caught my attention.
Yeah, Gajendra was in a very difficult situation, and oftentimes when difficult situations come to me, I resist them. Of course, everybody does. We live our lives as if we're building a fortress to keep out any kind of misfortune. But there's a way that when it does come, it's a great opportunity to actually give up and let Krishna guide us rather than trying to guide ourselves. Satyadev Prabhu.
I like your the definition of sincerity that you just taught us, that it means without wax. And we live, I'll speak for myself, you know, I live in a constant state of fear of being discovered, you know, for who and what I really am. And at least with Krishna, we should trust him enough to just be really who we are, no wax. So I'm going to contemplate that more and try and see the different ways I'm trying to wax myself. No wax.
No wax.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. This is a really important topic because sincerity is directly connected to the first and foremost pillar of Dharma, which is truthfulness. And I actually have a question that sometimes it says, fake it until you make it. And in one sense, we do that many times in Krishna consciousness. For example, we may not feel like chanting or reading or serving, but we understand that this is what we should be doing, and we try to do that. So what would be the difference between real spiritual sincerity and mental sincerity when we think, oh, I just have to do, you know, I just have to be my conditioned self and not pretend, not to try to be something I am not?
Well, there's several points that are important. One is that we should act according to our capacity. Krishna says in the 11th canto, Sve Sve Adhikarya Nishta Saguna Parikirtita, that it's a good quality when you know what your capacity is and you act according to that capacity. You practice according to that capacity. Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out in his Chaitanya Shikshamrita, when he quotes this verse, that yes, we should act according to our capacity. Don't try to do more than you're qualified for, more than your adhikari. But he says you should also not try to do less. And then he gives the example of climbing a ladder, that when you put your foot on the first rung, you should make sure that it's solidly there, and then you should move up to the next rung. And he said, if you run up the ladder and you don't have good footing, then you can slip and fall. But he said, if you put your foot on the rung and then you don't move up, then your advancement will be distant. It'll take a long time. So there's some dexterity involved. One has to measure one's own capacity and take help from others to see one's capacity. And when the signs are there that it's time to move up, then one should move up. This is a sign of sincerity also, because there is a point of being insincere, which is to claim that I'm permanently unqualified. This is illegal, because the shastras are all telling us that we can rise. It's an intrinsic quality of the soul that in due course of time, the soul can rise and become better. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that in one of his books. And therefore, we shouldn't claim that I'm not qualified to move up to the next level, because then we won't be satisfied. So sincerity also means that we have to take responsibility when the time comes also to move up. So on both sides, it has to be a little measured. That's why it requires a lot of guidance in the process of Krishna consciousness. It's a culture of guidance. We take from many different mentors to help us to see what our capacity is and to increase it when we can. And, of course, even in those times when we don't possibly, we may not feel like doing, but we do anyway, there's a kind of sincerity in that we're trusting the process. I may not have the capacity to appreciate it that much, but I definitely trust the process, so I keep doing it. So there's a kind of sincerity in that also. Yes, Bali Prabhu.
So I like the flow of the purport, because here he's saying the darkness which is removed, and Prabhupada directly in the purport giving an example of the Banaras, Prakasananda Saraswati, and the point is making that deriding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as being sentimentalist. So the criticism is kind of an ignorance, which is Krishna is going to destroy it and Krishna is really clearing out, then automatically the flow of the devotions will flourish into, blossom into the heart. Aham ajnana jamtamas, that's the one which is struck into my heart.
Yes, it's an important point, and thanks for bringing it out from the purport, that there's a way in which sincerity also requires that one study the science of Krishna consciousness. Although it's mentioned here that even if one doesn't have jnana or knowledge so much, that if one simply chants Hare Krishna, one will have knowledge. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayat Yashu Vairagnyam Jnanam Chaya Rahaitukam. Srimad Bhagavatam, Sutta Goswami says that by performing bhakti, especially chanting Hare Krishna, as mentioned earlier, Apanasam Sutim Goran Yannama Vivasho Granan Tata Sadyo Vimucheta Yabhibheti Swayam Bhayam, that Krishna and his name are non-different. If one performs devotional service by chanting, then as a concomitant, knowledge and detachment, jnana and vairagya, come into the purview of the devotee. They become available naturally. And if one studies the science of devotional service, he or she will come to know that there's nothing lacking in the holy name. There's, as one sadhu in Vrindavan once said, all vitamins are there within the holy name, because he was fasting, and someone said, how can you fast so much? All vitamins are there with the holy name. But the science of Krishna consciousness is detailed by the shastras and the acharyas. For instance, Rupa Goswami writes, Nikila Shuti Mali Ratnamali Titi Niradi Dapada Pankajanta. That if you look at all the Vedas, you'll find the crown jewels are the Upanishads. And they're worshipping the tips of the toes, the lotus feet of the holy name, by shining their light upon them. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur elaborates that if you sneak in and see the Mangalartik, they're performing the Vedas personified, Upanishads, are performing the Mangalarti to the lotus feet of the tips of the toes of the lotus feet of the holy name. Sarva Vedishu Drishyate, where the holy name appears in the Kali Santarana Upanishad. It said, if you know where to look in the Vedas and you know how to navigate through the Vedic literature, you'll find that they're all pointing to the holy name, which is non-different from Krishna. So one who knows the science also and goes on chanting Hare Krishna. I mukta kaleru pasimanam, Rupa Goswami says. If those who are liberated souls, they're content with always chanting the holy names, because it's the pinnacle of all knowledge, because it's Krishna himself. So Prabhupada goes on in this purport to point out that if one's chanting, then as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the heart will become cleansed also. Cheto darpanam arjanam. And even as one begins the process of chanting Hare Krishna, even if I'm burdened with various unwanted desires, and I feel that I'm insincere, and even I'm offensive, it's altogether possible, as one has to start where one is, that the Shastra says, Padma Purana, Nama Parara Yuktanam, Nama Nyeva Harantyagam, Avishrani, Prayuktani, Name Varta Karanicha, that you should continually chant, don't stop. Even if you're offensive, and even if you don't feel like chanting, says Rupa Goswami again, Sat Krishna Nama Charitari Sitapta Vidya Pitopa Tapta Rasanasya Narochikanu Kintva Varad Anudilam Kalusaiva Jushta Svadvi Kramad Bhavati Tad Garamulahantri. He says in the beginning, when you start, somebody's got a microphone out there? Okay. When you start, then you may feel like the chanting is like drinking something bitter. Actually, it's the sweetest thing, he says. But like when you have jaundice and you take sugarcane juice, but it tastes bitter, even though as you continue drinking the sugarcane juice, which is a curative for the jaundice, then you'll begin to taste the sweetness. So one will not be without knowledge if he's chanting Hare Krishna, but it's also recommended by Haridas Thakur that along with chanting, you should have sambandha gyan. Every day you have to hear about your relationship with the Supreme and also with the material world. Asango hyayam purushaha. You have nothing to do with the material world. Those two things together are very important for perfecting one's chanting. It's easy to forget in the material world and become distracted. Other reflections? Yes. There's some from the question from the internet, and then we have Govinda, which is always interesting.
So this is Preeti Sandarbha Mataji is watching you from India.
Really?
And the question is actually from Sarita Ocha Mataji. She's watching you on YouTube. And she says that how can we control our mind in difficult situations and totally surrender to Krishna, even though theoretically I know it very well, but it's very difficult to implement that.
How to control the mind in very difficult situations? Well, one thing that Krishna recommends in the Bhagavad Gita is that you practice. Because he mentions the mind in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He mentions that it's vital to have a mind that is interested in the subject matter of Krishna consciousness. As Prabhupada puts it, and this chapter 8 of the Gita, which I'm mentioning, goes into what happens when we leave our present body, ukramantam sthitam vapi bhujanam bhagunan vivam. Vimudananda paschanti, paschanti gyana chakshusa. That a person who's trained in knowledge, when he steps out of his body, he knows what's happening. Or those who are trained in knowledge, when they see someone leave their body, they know what's happening. But a person who's not trained in knowledge, hasn't practiced, can't see what's happening. And furthermore, he says, or earlier on in that chapter, he says it's very important that the mind is refined, because yam yang vapi smanan bhavam tajat yante kalevaram tam tame vaitikontaya sadatad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever a prominent feeling the mind we have in mind when we're leaving the body, that will attract us to our next life and destination. And Prabhupada puts it, whatever subject matter attracts the attention of the dying man will be his destination. And so in two places, at least in that chapter, Krishna recommends practice. One of them is abhyasa yoga yuktena cetasa nanyagamina paramam purusham divyam yati partanu chintayan. Abhyas means you have to do something again and again and again. And thinking about practice, it's one of the magic facilities that we have as human beings. We can decide to take up a new discipline, and through knowledge and practice, if we get, actually, I mentioned five elements when we were in Los Angeles, and I think those are important also. But the point is, if you have proper guidance and information and you practice for a long time and you practice correctly, then you can develop your mind. You can have the mind. You can learn how to focus the mind. The mind also will become attracted to Krishna, because it's natural when it becomes purified and focused. And the second place in the chapter, in that same chapter, about attaining the Supreme, where Krishna mentions, he says, prayana kale manasachalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva pruvor madye pranamavesha samyak satam param purusham upaiti divyam. There he's talking about the yogis, and prayana kale at the end, when the body's finished. Manasa chalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva. Yoga balena means that the yogi has some spiritual strength, the strength of yoga, which is really all about being able to purify and then focus the mind. And that person is able to fix the mind on the Supreme and attain the Supreme. Prabhupada mentions in his purport to that verse that you can't do it at the last minute. Like if you get ready for your SATs and you study the night before, what will happen? You got to put in a lot of work and a lot of time. I mean, there's no alternative, you know, to put in the practice. So it's important to practice throughout one's lifetime, controlling the mind. And it's the most frequently asked question wherever we go, whether it's in corporates or in the yoga studios or any place. Everyone always comes up and says how to control the mind. And Krishna, Arjuna, I always say Arjuna asked the same question. You know, how do I control the mind? It seems impossible. And Krishna says by practice and by detachment. There's a magic in practice. And there's nothing more rewarding than controlling the mind and fixing it on Krishna, and especially on the mantra, by practicing mantra meditation. So it's worth the practice. And someone was pointing out to me, I know it was a new initiate the other day, Devavrata. He was writing in a quiz he gave me back, I think. Or maybe it was Atulya Bhakti. But I can't. One of them had written about how Mahatma Prabhu, who teaches a lot about chanting japa, said that unless you spend a lot of time at something, you're not going to get good at it. There's no alternative for that. So to control the mind, you have to practice. And you have to spend time with it, and you have to spend time with the mantra, and you have to practice, as Krishna says in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that wherever it goes, you have to learn to keep bringing it back. And, you know, bringing back to the chanting, also bringing it back to your intention of serving Krishna, and performing the austerities of speech. So bhakti is a comprehensive and holistic practice that one integrates into one's entire life. And so what you're all doing, practicing bhakti, as Prabhupada writes in the Light of the Bhagavat, it's not a plaything. Going back to God, it is not a plaything. Bhakti is not a sentimental process. This is very deep, penetrating yoga or union with Krishna through one's work, through making sacrifice of the results of one's work, through learning to fix one's mind on Krishna in the form of the deity, in the form of the mantra, in honoring prasadam. At every moment, one's life is absorbed in Krishna. And all these things have a cumulative effect. So it's not a cheap thing either, that you just control the mind by some trick. You have to spend a lot of time with it. Just like if you raise a child, you have to spend a lot of time with the child. And you have to teach him stuff. You have to reason with him. You have to take him on, you know, field trips. You have to show him the ways of the world. Same with the mind, too. You have a long-term relationship with it, and you have to raise it upright, raise your mind. Otherwise, it'll become like, you know, a child who didn't have parenting at all. And sometimes people like that just go out and kill somebody because they feel so insufficient in their own lives. So we have to take time to holistically embrace the process of Krishna consciousness. Yes. Vijay Damodar Prabhu, all the way at the back.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the enthralling class so far. Looking for better times. One quick question on the second last sentence, the first paragraph. It says, so the sincere devotee, or rather, I should read the line before that, but even if a devotee does not take advantage of the literatures or of his spiritual master, if he is sincere in his devotional service, he is held by Krishna himself within his heart. So the sincere devotee engaged in Krishna consciousness cannot be without knowledge. Then after that, Prabhupada writes one sentence, which is my question. The only qualification is that one carry out devotional service in full Krishna consciousness. So my question is, does this word full apply to Kanishtikas, or is it to Madhyamika, or is it to Uttama? Basically, is there any solace in that word that if someone is not able to take advantage of the spiritual master? Last sentence in the first paragraph. Yeah, that full word. So is there solace for youngsters, or is it only meant for very senior people?
Full has different meanings according to who's practicing. Because everyone has a capacity to practice at a certain level. Birds fly in the sky as high as they're able, but the sky is unlimited. So when you're doing your practice to the best of your ability, sincerely trying, then Krishna notices that. What's full for one person may seem like a very preliminary endeavor for somebody to somebody else. The Prabhupada mentions this in 331. Ye me matam idam nityam anutishtanti marva shadavanto nasuyanto muchante te pikarma bihi. And in this verse, Krishna says that my teachings are eternally true without exception. And one who accepts this, has faith in that, will advance. And those who are envious of the principle will not. And in the purport, Prabhupada writes, the injunction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the essence of all Vedic wisdom, and therefore is eternally true without exception. As the Vedas are eternal, so this truth of Krishna consciousness is also eternal. One should have firm faith in this injunction without envying the Lord. There are many philosophers who write comments on the Bhagavad Gita but have no faith in Krishna. They will never be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activity. But an ordinary man with firm faith in the eternal injunctions of the Lord, even though unable to execute such orders, becomes liberated from the bondage of the law of karma. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, one may not fully discharge the injunctions of the Lord, but because one is not resentful of this principle and works sincerely without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, he will surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. There are other ways in which Krishna encourages us in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Jata Shradama Katasu Nirvina Sarva Karmasu. Veda Dukat Makankamams Prityagi Panishvara. That he describes a person who is taken to the process of Krishna consciousness, understands that all sense gratification leads to misery, and he's disgusted with his involvement in the material world altogether, but Parityagi Pyanishvare, he doesn't have the strength to not engage in sense gratification. Then he goes on to say that such a person should continue the practice of devotional service without becoming discouraged, because, as Prabhupada said, one day you will walk. Even though you start off and maybe you're a young man or woman and the senses are very strong, you're sincere about your practice of devotional service, but you're being pulled here and there, and you do your level best, then like a baby learning to walk, gradually you'll learn. And there are different phases of life one has to go through, and during those phases of life, we may have more or less contact with Krishna consciousness due to the force of circumstances in our life. Nonetheless, if one sincerely goes on doing the best that one can to one's capacity, then one learns even from one's contact with avidya. Vidyam cha vidyam chayas tadvedo bayam saha avidya yam ritum tirtva vidya yam ritum ashnute. Only one who can learn the process of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessings of immortality. And it will take two more?
Thank you.
Yes. Hari Sankirtan.
So the one point I liked a lot is where you mentioned in the end that Krishna sees what we hold back and not what we give. And I think that is where that full, like how much, what our capacity is to full devotional service, we can decide from how much we can do and what we don't do.
Yeah, that, you know, there's such, Krishna gives us permission to fully surrender whatever we have. I mean, he gives these open declarations, says it to the whole world, sarva dharman pariyaja mamekam sharanam vraja. Feel free to surrender everything, and don't hold anything back. And this is the biggest relief for any spiritual being, is just to let go and let Krishna have the whole thing. This is synonymous with sincerity. And even if one's not able to do it, if one desires to do it, Satyadeva Prabhu read me a letter many years ago where Prabhupada said that the desire to know Krishna or to be sincere is synonymous with being sincere. So there's a way in which when we take this to heart and think about it and offer that sincere prayer that please let me give everything to Krishna, then we'll feel this the import of this verse today. Tesham ivanukam partam ahamajana. That Krishna immediately illuminates our heart when that sincere desire appears. That's the most valuable thing that we have. And if you're able to bottle it up in one of those tiny little bottles that's sold by Gulab Singh down in Chandi Chowk in old Delhi, where he sells all kinds of essential oils. He collects them from all over the world and sells them, some of them, for $1,000 for a bottle. But if you were able to get one of those, the tiniest of little bottles from Gulab Singh, and you had just one molecule of sincerity, pure sincerity, that you could not buy that for all the money in old Delhi. And there's a lot of money under mattresses there. Of course, you couldn't buy it for all the money in India, or all the money in the world, or in the universe. There's nothing as valuable to the soul as one tiny molecule of pure sincerity to surrender to Krishna. So if you can get that, if you can find it, even if you know it's in there somewhere, even though you can't find it, it's like when you lose your car keys, you know they're in there somewhere, you just don't know where, and you're looking around. And that's part of the process of chanting. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, we should be looking all through the house to find where did I put that one molecule of sincerity. I saw it here before a long time ago, and I'm going to find it again. And if we're on the search for it, then Krishna notices, and you know, he'll bring it to the surface. And that's our connection with Krishna. That sincere desire to know him. Sincere. There's no nothing that can replace that. It also changes the personality. If somebody has that in their heart, if they've seen it even one time, that I actually saw that I have a molecule of sincerity, then they become a different person. The way they interact with the world, when people look at such a person, they'll go, well, hey, what happened to you? You look different. So this verse, we should keep in our heart always. The acharyas have illuminated these four verses together. This is one of them, and these are our great treasures. We should carry them with us always. Remember them when we chant, that Krishna is there with a lamp, and he's illuminating our heart and showing us the pathway. And we just have to ask for it. Don't be too proud to beg. Be open to sincerely asking for it. Don't have any pretense or pride that, what do I need that for? You can feel yourself to be, as we read the other day, we were cooking in Los Angeles and Bhanubhata was keeping us busy. While there was a lull, he was reading the highlights from his readings. And Prabhupada was saying that the feeling of the devotee is that I am the lowest animal. And if one takes that pridelessness, humility, and with that somehow or other find sincerity, then Krishna will illuminate the heart. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Nachariyar Marman, Nachariyar Marman, Nachariyar Marman, Nachariyar Marman. Hey! Nachariyar Marman, Nachariyar Marman, Nachariyar Marman, Nachariyar Marman.